Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
I want to let the audience know, you know, Scav and I, we've worked together. We share information back and forth.
I run Scout as my service dog. He's a hearing dog, PTSD dog.
We're here to bring you news, interviews, and information about service dogs and about matters that are of interest to the service dog community.
Thank you for joining us on the Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR.
And welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
This is the second show of our Service Dog Organization Red Flag series. The first half here, I'm going to actually read a testimonial from a veteran. I wanted to allow him to remain anonymous. But his story is pretty shocking, and it's full of some red flags. Some things to think about when you're looking at into a nonprofit. This guy purchased a copy of a training book by an author, and I'm not going to get into who, but they have a Facebook support network for these books. And so he joined the Facebook group. Because the group offered more support, he says since there were little training options for owner training, he figured he would look into what was provided by this group. The group's pages were set up over five pages, one for veterans, one for first responders, and one for civilians, the main page for the books, and a therapy page, and they were all set up under the same company's name. That this company apparently posted on their Facebook group that they had trained dogs and prospects ready to place for those who need them on hand. For those who wanted a prospect to train in the method of the books, they would cover the school cost. They offered this veteran a payment plan so he didn't have to pay $3,000 up front. Or they offered him the possibility of purchasing a fully trained adult dog when it became available. Now, first of all, this is interesting to me because this series of books has in the past, I'm familiar with the series, I'm not going to name names. Remember, the purpose of doing this, folks, is we're teaching you red flags to look for. So I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. But this series of books has had some repute, reputability in the past. But what is interesting to me is that the people running the Facebook pages, which may or may not be directly connected to the author of the book, I don't know. My Facebook page is absolutely connected directly to me and my book. I stand by everything I say on the page and everything in the book. I don't know if that author is connected in the same way for these pages. But what's interesting to me is that this book's a owner training methodology, and yet here the people running the Facebook pages are offering prospects or fully trained dogs, yet it's an owner training book. So right there, is to me, in my mind, is a red flag. What do you think, Scav?
Yeah, owner training book, owner training dogs. And then you said $3,000.
Yeah, yeah. $3,000 to do their courses or a fully trained adult dog. So I'm getting red flag. Why is, if it's owner training, the only cost should be for the cost of the book.
Because, you know, owner training to me means I can train my own dog.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I don't have any cost in this thing.
Exactly.
Minus my dog.
Right, yeah, the cost of the dog, veterinary care and all of that. So there's that to me is a red flag. So wait, maybe this is a community supporting a book about owner training, yet here we are charging thousands of dollars. The veteran says he did take the opportunity to be placed on a list for anything is he's desperate and he couldn't find a good prospect. So, and that's, you know what? I understand that. I understand getting on the list. Here's a question I ask though. When you have an organization with a waiting list, and some of the big organizations, the big ones that everybody knows the name when you say them, their waiting list is 2 or 3 years long.
Right.
What's a veteran who's at the end of their rope and desperate and reaching for anything to help them? What are they going to do for 2-3 years waiting?
Well,
I mean, you're just supposed to not commit suicide for 3 years while you wait for a dog?
If you remember when I was looking for Scout and I reached out, well, I had Scout, and you remember when I was trying to find somebody to train him for hearing, you know where I'm at in the middle of bumfuck.
Yeah.
There's nobody here that trains dogs, period. Mm-hmm. You know, even for just basic, you know, obedience.
Right, right.
So where am I going to get a hearing dog? You know what I mean? Columbus, Ohio, 2.5 hours away. Pittsburgh, an hour, hour and a half away.
Mm-hmm.
So you help me. I mean,
well, but
we searched for months.
Here's the thing, though. You made the commitment to your own health of taking the time and making the drive to the trainer.
Right.
Okay. So right off the bat, you already had the, you already understood that the responsibility lay with you to find within you to find and pursue the healing of training a service dog.
Correct.
You know, and that's something I think, I rail against the third party training organizations a lot. Because they give people a false sense of no responsibility.
But when I was looking at all these organizations, and when you and I were talking, and when Bart and I were talking, mm-hmm. it was like 2.5 years.
Yeah.
3 years.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at these guys like, are you high?
Well, yeah.
I could turn around and spend $5,000, $15,000, $35,000, up to $50,000 for a goddamn dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, are you serious right now? You know, I could have the dog tomorrow if I wanted to pay for it.
Yeah. But at what cost, and what would you be getting?
Right. A dog that I don't know, that doesn't know me, that, mm-hmm. you know, what's he going to do? Take the laundry out of my dryer and not do what I want him to do?
Exactly. Exactly. So this guy, this poor veteran, he, you know, he thought everything was legit. It was a well-known author. So everything seemed to him to be on the up and up. So he continues, though, that this group, this organization, these folks, whoever these people are, they're in the process of opening 4 dog kennels where they will breed and trade service dogs. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Wait, stop. Red flag.
They're going to breed and train.
You cannot breed a service dog. You can breed dogs that may have a higher possibility because of personality traits, but you do not breed a service dog. Individual dogs are uniquely able to do service dog work.
So what kind of service?
Crank out a litter and say, these are all service dogs.
What kind of service dog do we use, man?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you cannot, you can breed dogs that could work as service dogs. You do not breed service dogs. That is
the only service dog out there is German Shepherd or, you know, Golden Retriever. That's
right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So are they breeding just the big 4? What is it? Shepherds, Retrievers, Labs, and,
Chihuahuas.
No, it's not. Chihuahuas. All right. But they also do take animals from kill shelters and try to rehabilitate them and give them a chance to become service dog, which is commendable. I mean, Tatsaw does that. Tatsaw goes to shelters. That's fine. No problem with that. The dogs that don't make it as a service dog are offered to people as emotional support animals. A gray flag. As long as the organization is educating those people and that they and the people receiving the dogs understand that there's a difference between a task-trained service dog and an emotional support animal.
Right.
There's a huge difference.
And Tadsaw does wash out quite a few dogs that don't make service dog. Now you get a highly trained dog, that can do a lot of things, but it's not a service dog.
Yeah, it's just the dog is not well behaved enough to be able to handle public access. And that's really what the big deal is look, the dog's got to be able, it's not a matter of the dog being able to help you with your disability. That's usually fairly easy. It's a matter of the dog being able to behave in public. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's the hard part.
That's, he might want to go visit everybody, or he may not be able to control his bladder. You know, it could be anything.
That's where all the diligence and training happens.
He might like to bark at everybody. It's, public access is a nightmare for a lot of dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to have the right dog. It's got to have the right personality. It's got to have the right focus. It's got to have the right drive to be right with you and focused on you rather than whatever else is going on. I mean, which again goes back to that state. You can't just breed a service dog. You can breed service dogs that have a higher potential, or service dogs. You can breed dogs that may have a higher potential to be able to tolerate the work, but a service dog is not bred. A service dog is trained and trained and trained and trained.
Right.
And trained.
How many sled dogs out there do you know that are service dogs?
Not very many.
Correct.
Not very many. It's not Malamutes and Huskies are terrible breeds for service dogs. Breed wise, individual animal wise, I know several that are fantastic. I happen to have one laying on the floor playing carpet right in front of me.
Right.
Banner, the Siberian Husky. She's an amazing service dog.
It
that individual animal has nothing to do with breed.
And time spent.
Yeah. Training and training and time. Absolutely. So the organization called this guy and said they had a prospect for him, and they could give him give the prospect to him because he had achieved the top of the list. He lives in Tennessee, and they wanted him to go pick the dog up in Norfolk, Virginia. And that's a bit of a haul. He said, hey, you know, that might be tough for me to come all the way over there to get the dog. And they threatened to place the dog with somebody else. Okay. Strong arm tactics. Another red flag. I'm telling you, folks, if a training organization pulls that, well, if you can't drop everything and do what we want you to right now, we'll give the dog to somebody else. Tell them to fuck off.
Bingo.
Go somewhere else.
Let them give the dog away.
Go somewhere else.
The dog isn't worth it to you. Trust me.
Having to uproot your life at the last second with no warning, do it our way or else, that's a red flag. Tell them to pound sand. Keep looking. It is worth your time. It is worth your effort. It is worth your investment to find the right match. The first dog you get is not always the best dog. I would rather turn down 20 dogs to find one than say yes to three dogs and have to find them new homes because none of them are appropriate.
I have a friend of mine that's been looking for a service dog for probably 2 years, and he's still looking because he's not biting on these little catches. Yeah.
I need to be looking for a prospect to start training to be Skeeter's successor. I should be actively really pursuing that right now. He's 9 years old. He's old and grouchy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm avoiding it because I understand that once I start, first of all, no dog is ever going to measure up to Skeeter. No dog is ever going to be Skeeter. He's my first. He's my best friend. He's my brother. And no dog's ever going to replace him. So I've got to get around that mental block, you know?
Well, and
I'm being picky.
And the rest of us are prepping to be there for you because we're going to have to beat your ass.
Oh, I know. It's going to, and you know, you're right. I'm going to tell you right now, I may end up back in the hospital for a little while when I lose him. This dog has saved my life on more than, not just figuratively, he has literally saved my life on more than one occasion. I owe my life to this dog, and I understand that when the time comes, I'm going to be an absolute disaster. I will be a wreck. I'm very aware. I'm planning on how to handle it when I lose Skeeter, because I know it's going to happen. I know it's not going to be good when it happens, and I know how bad I can get.
Yep. been scouting the 5-year mark. I still have a few years, but what happens is the unexpected stuff.
And that's just, I mean, honestly, that's just the thing. I live right next to a very busy two-lane road where people, because we're out in the backwoods, people are idiots and they just think, well, you know, it's sparsely populated out here, so we can drive 70 down this curvy, hilly, blind corner country road. Mm-hmm. And they do. I had a car last summer bounce off of one of the trees in my front yard because the guy lost control because he was going too fast and was not sober, you know? And I was just, Skeeter and I could be putzing around in the front yard and one of these knuckleheads lose control and run over my dog. And there'd be nothing I could do about it.
Right.
You never guarantee. I mean, anything could happen. Shoot, we both almost got run over in a parking lot at the grocery store the other day.
Right.
And you and I have some choice words for that person.
You and I have talked before about Scout alerting me to cars and what happens if he takes the car instead of me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, we've got to be ready. So anyway, the organization. So first of all, the red flag, come get him or else. Second, they told him that the prospect was matched with his needs, had been evaluated, and would pass as a service dog already. And that they had staff on hand to help answer questions and help him correct problems if any behavioral problems did arise. So an 8-hour drive, $150 in fuel, he went and picked up the dog. And the dog did take to him instantly. He says, he said that he and the dog hit it off, which that bond is very important. You and I both know that bond is absolutely, very important. So at least that part happened and that's good. Yeah. He contacted the organization though and said, hey, this dog is underweight, limping. Her main teeth are broken, and she's aggressive towards people.
Wow.
Dog went after his wife and his niece, and the dog had no socialization. Okay, again.
Okay, so this was trained by an organization.
That was a prospect that they claimed could pass as a service dog already.
Okay.
The organization told him to take her to the pound and have her put down. Or take her home and they start working through it.
Wow.
He decided to take the dog in spite, which is good. He took the dog and that's great. And he's, you know, decided that he was going to work with the dog, and that's fantastic. They gave him no medical records. He had to try to track it all down himself. They told him there was no behavior issues. Oh, the pound told them that they couldn't work the dog because their behaviorists quit the rescue. So that's interesting. Another red flag. That they would get the dog into the school, into the video school, and once they got the dog into the school, they would help work on that. You know, again, I'm seeing red flags left and right here, but they said that they do video conferences to help. Anyway, the list of things that this veteran had to go through with this dog, it's a shepherd. So of course you want to look at their hips. They wanted him to keep the dog intact in case the dog did work out. Okay. Because they wanted to breed her with it, because she's a German Shepherd dog. They wanted to breed her in case she did work out so that they could get more service dog prospects. Again, you cannot breed a service dog. You can breed dogs that might work because they have personality abilities that might connect, but you cannot breed a service dog. So
you can breed a hairless dog or can breed a Rottweiler.
But you can't breed a service dog. I mean, again, it just red flags again. And if an organization tells me, well, yeah, here's your service dog, but you can't fix the dog because if the dog works, we're going to breed the dog. And I'm like, wait, whoa, wait a minute. Whose dog is this? That again is another red flag. That just sets me off. You know, that just sets me off. It's the red flag. The red flags just keep waving, you know. They tried to tell him that he couldn't get certain immunizations because the previous owners of the dogs didn't believe in it. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not how it works. You get whatever immunizations are required in your area. Because you can't register the dog, which is to track rabies vaccination for safety. So, red flags again and again and again. They didn't want him to x-ray the hips. It's a German Shepherd. You have to, in this day and age, with all the overbreeding and everything going on, you have to look at their hips. You have to look at the health of that animal. They told him that they maintained ownership of the dog. Okay, if nobody listens to anything else that we talk about during all of this, the testimonials and the experiences of other handlers, if nobody takes anything else away from this, if an organization retains ownership of the dog, turn around and walk away. Do not, I'm sorry, but you are a damned fool if you participate in any organization that holds the ownership of your service dog over your head in any way.
Bingo.
Just walk away. All you're asking for is to be manipulated, misused, and abused.
I don't know anybody that likes to be blackmailed.
Yeah, that's blackmail. Absolutely. And again, they threatened to take the dog at any time. So first they threatened either come get the dog, or we're giving it to somebody else. Now they're threatening take the dog, they can take away the dog at any time. And they said that the dog had to wear one of their vests at all time, inside or outside. I don't care if you want your dog to wear a vest or not. I don't work Skeeter with a vest. I have in the past. I've found that less people interfere with us if he's not vested. Okay. It is not required by law to vest the dog. So if a specific organization is saying that you have to use their specific vest and they're telling you when and where you have to use their vest, right? They don't care about you or the dog. All they care about is advertising. Another red flag. You're an asset to advertise. Walk away. Walk away from that. You are not there to advertise for the organization. You're there to try to find healing and growth. You're there to get help because you're disabled. You're not there to be a poster child. Why are veterans especially allowing themselves to be misused like this? Red flag, people. Red flag. He dealt with the dog and worked through behaviors and issues for over 2 months. And so he's dealing with all these behaviors on his own. They sent him a letter that said if he did not enroll in their school within 30 days, they were going to take the dog back. He contacted them and explained that the dog was not ready for school since they gave him a dog that even his vet agreed needed to be put down when he first got her. And the first thing that, you know, and that he had to start rehabilitating, that he should be given more time, especially since he did not agree with, you know, especially since he was hearing rumors and stuff from the group. He was told no extension. They emailed him asking for who said what and when, trying to turn it into a gossip fest. And he said, no, I'm not telling you any of that unless you answer some of the questions and concerns that I've been telling you, especially about vaccinations and about not fixing her. 2 weeks later, they told him he could still enroll the dog in the school that they offer online, but they were removing him from the groups on Facebook and not allowing him to pass their certification program at the end. So here he is with a German Shepherd, Belgian Malinois mix with no socialization, aggression towards children, aggression towards animals and human, broken bones and broken teeth and food aggression. This organization is based in Alaska, but they offer their services to throughout the U.S. to veterans and first responders. And they sell these training books. It's cost him $3,000 in vet bills, training aids, and training to get her rehabilitated. She still has issues, but he's working it. He's taken the responsibility, and he's training his dog. They finally released ownership to him.
Wow. This dude's got some patience, man.
Yeah. I mean, he has fought for his dog. Think about what this organization pulled, though. First of all, come get the dog or else. Second of all, do it our way or we'll take the dog back. Third, you have to wear our organization's vest. The dog has to wear our organization's vest all the time.
Who's ever heard of that bullshit?
That's horse shit. And you know what? It is entirely up to the handler whether or not they use a vest. I didn't train Skeeter in a vest. I didn't work him for the first 3 years that he was in public with a vest. Then I had an incident where I felt like trying a vest and seeing if it would help. I figured out that it doesn't help if you have a vest on the dog or not. People are idiots, and people are going to try to interfere with you and your dog no matter what. And I moved to the South, so it's simply more comfortable for him and safer for him not to wear a vest in the heat because he's a northern breed. So he needs his fur to be able to help keep him cool. It works in the same way to keep northern breeds cool as it does to keep them warm. So it's for his safety and his health, it's better for him not to wear a vest. Okay, so this, you have to use a vest, that's bullshit. And the law does not require it.
No.
In fact, I called the ADA hotline, the information hotline, the 800 number, and asked them one day, I was talking to them because I wanted clarification on the part of the ADA where it says, when it is not obvious that a dog is a service dog. And I wanted to know that you can ask the questions. I wanted to know what does that mean when it is not obvious. And so I said, if the dog's wearing a vest and it's behaving, and the lady said, wait a minute. She said, the vest doesn't mean a thing. The vest has no relevance as to whether or not it's a service dog. That's a direct quote from the ADA hotline. And I thought about it for a second and said, you know what? You're right. Anybody can buy a vest. That has nothing to do with it. She said, remember, the disabled individual is who is covered. If you roll in with a wheelchair with a service dog next to you, and it's obvious that the dog is there to help you because you're in a wheelchair, they cannot ask the two questions because the dog is not who's protected by the law. The person is the disabled handler.
Yep.
And that was a big, that was an eye opener to me. I was like, wow, you know what? You're right. You're right. So if it's obvious, if I've got two prosthetics legs, a cane, and a service dog, it's pretty freaking obvious that dog's there to help me out, right? They can't ask any questions. Now, that does not mean if the dog is out of control or not behaving that they cannot ask me to remove the dog. They most certainly can, no matter what my disability is.
Yeah, if he's running circles or not chasing squirrels.
If the dog is not... if the dog does not fulfill the requirements as far as behavior, which is in there, it's in the law. The law tells you, the law says this is the way the dog must behave. The dog must be under the handler's control. And then it says, if the dog is not under the handler's control, the handler must take immediate effective action to regain control. What does that mean? Dogs are still dogs. The ADA recognizes that it's still a dog and puts the responsibility right back where it belongs on the handler. So this guy's story is a horror story. He basically got yoked by this organization, lied to, threatened, manipulated, given a dog that probably should, he has definitely got the patience of a saint to have worked the dog through all of the issues. Now, guess what has been enabling him to get the dog to where she is at and continue to progress? The bond. He bonded with that dog almost immediately, and everything that he's built with that dog has been due to that bond. So again, You know, not every dog is suited to be a service dog. That doesn't mean that you can't get a dog there. You can't. I handle an aggressive dog breed. I handle some insurance companies, Alaskan Malamutes, in their top 10 most aggressive breeds. Do you know why? It's not because Malamutes bite a bunch of people. It's because when Malamutes are not given a job, when they're not challenged, when they're bored, they're destructive to property. They will do things like chew the siding off your house or dig up your cable line in your backyard and neatly section it into small pieces. That's why Malamutes are on the most dangerous list, is because they're destructive when they're bored. You know, I have a dog who a lawyer actually tried to convince me wasn't a real service dog because of his breed. And I just laughed at that chump, you know. But because of the bond Skeeter and I have, we've worked through all those breed tendencies. Again, you cannot breed a service dog. You can breed a dog that might have the appropriate possibilities, you know, the appropriate personality traits. You can breed a dog that could be a service dog, but you cannot see a puppy that just popped out of mommy's belly and say, well, that's a service dog. Doesn't work that way. Even with Skeeter, I had a lot of doubt. I knew he was my dog from the get-go, but that didn't mean he was going to be a service dog. It took training. It took time. So, you know, folks, listen, when the hair on the back of your neck stands up when you're communicating with an organization, listen to that. Listen to that gut feeling that says there's something wrong here. You've got to. You have got to listen to that.
The hell was that, Scout?
And with that, you've been listening to Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR. We got to pay the bills. So we will be right back after these brief messages.
DV Radio.
Shooters Express is Charlotte's number one destination for all personal defense, sport, instruction, and recreational shooting supplies. They offer concealed carry classes for only $29.95. That's only $29.95 for concealed carry classes. And if you're military or law enforcement, you'll receive great deals and be eligible for even more at Shooters Express. So head over to Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina, or visit shootersexpress.com for more information and monthly deals. That's Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina.
This is not a paid endorsement from Shooters Express and is provided solely by DV Radio for your charge.
What's DV Radio?
DV Radio is for you, the veteran, active duty service member, caregiver, and civilian supporter of the military. DVRadio.net is the online veteran network made for and by veterans. From original shows to syndication, you can find it here on DVRadio.net. In an effort to continue our mission and make better quality shows for each and every one of you, visit our Patreon at patreon.com/DVRadio. Whether you can only pledge $1 per month or that entire $1 million inheritance your uncle left you, there's a tier with rewards waiting for you. So why not keep DV Radio running and get rewarded at the same time? Head to patreon.com/DVRadio now. That's patreon.com/DVRadio.
DV Radio.
Are you looking for veteran resources and peer support? Objective Zero has an app for that. Download the Objective Zero app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Access wellness resources like yoga and a free year subscription to Headspace, the world's most popular meditation app. Check out veterans resources and access our nationwide network of peer support. Speak to fellow women veterans or someone in your field and branch of service. You get to choose who you want to chat with. Learn more at www.objectivezero.org. That's www.objectivezero.org.
And welcome back to the Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai.
I'm your host, Scav.
So we're going to wrap up our little mini series about service dog organization red flags. And I had another veteran message me who is out $50,000. $50,000.
Damn, dude. That's more than most people make in a year.
Yeah. So first he goes to a place in San Antonio that no longer exists. Interesting. And they were supposed to cover the dog, the training, vet bills, his food, his hotel, his travel, training, food, and stuff. The guy running this quote unquote organization took $45,000. You heard that right, $45,000, and ran.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So you pay me $45,000 and you come here for X amount of time. We make sure we set up the hotel and everything, blah, 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 which is what, you know, $300 to $700,
yeah, you know,
right. And we'll get this fully trained dog for you. And
did they give him a suite or,
you know, I don't know, but actually he didn't give him anything. He just took all the money and disappeared.
Wow.
$45,000 is, that's some people's salary annually. More than some people live on annually, more than I live on disability annually.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, VA disability doesn't give you that much.
Nope. Okay, so the second time, he got taken for $5,000. Both of these individuals were Army veterans suggested by a friend.
Huh, that's not good.
Yeah, so again, red flags, too much, promising to deliver too much while holding out their hand. Look, folks, listen, if you are a veteran, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of nonprofit organizations out there who help train or train for you, third-party train, whatever. You use what you need, but they all do it free of charge for you, the veteran.
Right. There's no reason any vet, hell, half the civilian population, you shouldn't have to pay for a service dog in today's world.
Now, let's talk about some of the things that these organizations are doing. These are questions you need to ask yourself. And that's why we're bringing this show together, because I keep seeing people posting, veterans and non-veterans posting in groups, I need a service dog. How do I get a service dog? Where do I go to get a service dog? What organizations are good for getting a service dog? Okay. Well, first of all, just like with the dog itself, you need to find the organization that fits with you. Scav and I both highly recommend TADSAW. Train a dog, save a warrior. Why? Because what they do is what we call cooperative training. You go to the trainer with your dog. If you don't have a dog, the trainer will help you find a dog. But you are responsible for your dog 24/7. As soon as there is a dog located that is suitable, the trainers do a behavior assessment to make sure that the dog is going to work and be able to work as a service dog. But as soon as that happens, they call you, the veteran, and say, come get your dog.
Right.
Your first class is, you know, in 3 weeks, Tuesday at 4 p.m. at this location or whatever. Okay. So there's a couple of reasons why this is really good. First of all, you don't wait for 2 or 3, or I've even heard of 7 years. Okay. You wait a couple of months while they try to find you a dog.
Right. And
because again, they are evaluating these dogs for suitability.
You know, when I went through, the worst case was I had to wait on Scout to hit the 13 month mark.
Right.
Because TADSAW has an age limit.
Yeah. 12 months or older. They don't train puppies. And it makes perfect sense. And part of the reason for that, and Bart will tell you this personally, he's the founder and director of TADSAW, he'll say, the ADA covers service dogs, not service puppies.
Correct.
You got to get past that puppy stage. And look, I mean, I didn't start working Skeeter and really training him hard until he was 18 months old, because he had to outgrow the puppy stuff.
Yep. And, it, you know, 11, 12, even 13 months old, they're still playing the puppy game.
Yeah. Well, Freya just turned 2 and she still plays like a puppy most of the time.
Right.
She acts like a puppy. She's still a big, I don't know what to call her. She's too reactive for service dog material.
In TADSAW a year, maybe a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And so during that training, Scout was still acting, you know, as puppy-ish, but he was training.
Yeah.
So during that time, we were working that out of him.
Exactly. Okay. So no waiting, or very minimal waiting. You're not going to wait more than, at the very outside, you're going to wait maybe 3 months while they're trying to help locate a suitable animal. Okay. Second, again, once there's a dog, that dog is your dog. You are responsible for that dog 24/7. Why is that important? Because you begin to form a bond with your dog. everything a PTSD service dog does for its handler is based on the bond that you and that dog create. Everything. I can't stress that enough. If you do not have a bond with your dog, you are not going to succeed as a team. If you're not a dog person, guess what? A service dog probably isn't for you. If you don't understand about the relationship that you can form with a dog and how powerful and fulfilling and important that relationship is, then it might not be the right solution for you. That's right. Something you need to think about.
Yeah, if you're expecting somebody to give you a fully trained service dog and say, okay, this dog's going to go get your clothes out of the dryer, all you got to do is snap your fingers. No, this
doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work like that.
Yeah. And if anybody's trying to sell you that, that's a red flag right there. It is not plug and play. A service dog is not a plug and play experience. You have to form a bond. Any type of service dog, seeing eye, hearing alert, medical alert, PTSD, psychiatric, whatever you want to call it, any kind of service dog, you absolutely have to form a bond with your dog. You have to.
Yes. The easiest part about the training with Tadsaw was for Scout. He had it nailed instantly. 80% of that was training was for me.
Yeah. That's the other thing is if you're not getting very thoroughly taught how to handle your dog, look, most of the big name organizations, the ones that draw in millions of dollars in donations, have the same formula. First of all, they claim that they're fully training the dog. Okay. So you come to them for 3 weeks. The first week is spent going between with each of the, you know, say they have 12 dogs ready and 12 veterans. Each veteran, each day of the week, you all switch between dogs to see if you have some kind of a spark of a connection. Okay. If you do connect, then that's going to be your dog. So the second week, all they teach you is basically just how to drive the dog. The basic handling stuff. Sit, stay, down, left, right. You know, whatever commands the dog's been taught. So all they're doing is teaching you how to walk around the dog with the dog with the leash for a week. Just a week. Okay. And then the third week, they take you out and do public access. So I compare this to being handed the keys to a stick shift, high horsepower sports car, Maserati. Okay. You may have driven, you know, your mom's Kia with a 3-speed automatic transmission, but that does not prepare you for 600 horsepower, 8 gears, not including reverse, paddle shifters and 2 inches clearance, road clearance. You have no clue what you're getting into when you step into that Maserati. And you're going to wrap yourself around a tree and die. You know, I mean, that it really is. The service dog is not like walking your Aunt Mildred's poodle. Nothing like it. Handling a service dog is a completely different experience. And you need to learn how to do it. And I don't care who they claim they are and how good they claim they are and how much money they bring in. You can't learn it in 2 weeks.
No, and it's not just handling the dog. It's handling public access itself. What are you going to do when you walk into that restaurant and get confronted by the waiter or the manager or anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, it's understanding a lot. Look, one of the primary reasons I wrote the book PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder and Service Dog, was because of the number of veterans with big program service dogs who I met, who I still communicate with. I still get messages on the page about this. You do too. These guys, these organizations give them this trained dog, hand them the keys to the Maserati, and nobody bothers to teach them about the ADA. Nobody teaches them about their rights. Nobody teaches them the law. They have no clue.
Right.
I have recently, within the last 4 months, had a veteran get irate at me on my page for saying an organization that teaches you that the appropriate response to the second question from a store or a restaurant or whatever. Okay. Remember that businesses have the right under the law to ask you, is that a service dog required because of a disability and what tasks is it trained to perform? Those questions are legal.
Correct.
I had a veteran tell me his organization taught them to say, PTSD. PTSD is not a task. PTSD nope. is your disability. PTSD is a diagnosis. PTSD is a reason you're receiving disability reimbursement from the VA, compensation, whatever you want to call it. But PTSD is not a task.
No.
So there's two things that happen when you go to a restaurant and they challenge you and they say, well, what task is a dog trained to perform? And you say PTSD. First of all, you didn't fulfill the requirement of the law because PTSD is not a task. It is a diagnosis. Second of all, you just publicly, audibly, in front of whoever's there, labeled yourself because you divulged your disability. Now, although it's gotten better, you still have a prevalent public perception of veterans with PTSD being hand grenades getting ready to explode.
Mm-hmm.
And you just labeled yourself publicly. Oh, I'm that crazy vet that's about to lose everything. I'm just going to lose my shit and tear this place up. You just announced that. Why would you do that to yourself? Nobody but your doctor and maybe your insurance company has a right to understand and know what your disability is. It's none of their business. It is legally none of their business.
And if you get a smart business owner, they're going to play off of that.
And kick you out. Yeah.
Bingo. Whereas if you walked in and said he's an alert dog, mm-hmm. that's a task-trained dog.
Yeah.
You don't have to say what he's alerting to. All you have to do is say he's an alert dog.
Yeah. He provides an alert to changes in my condition so that I can remove myself somewhere safe or take medication. Completely fulfills the requirement of law. Look, I can go into a laundry list. Oh, you know what? I was challenged at a VA in Michigan in very inappropriately, but I was challenged. So the guy says, well, what tasks is he trained to perform? Skeeter, of course, he's actually at level 2 of his alert at that point. And I've described this several times on the show. Level 1 of him alerting to me to my stress getting out of control as he sits on my foot. Level 2 is he pushes against me, pushes me away from the stressor. So the two VA employees who confronted us and backed me into a corner, which they really handled this very poorly. Skeeter already, I mean, first he picked up, well, something's going on and you're not handling it well. And you need to move away from these guys. Of course, like I said, I was backed against the corner, so I couldn't move away. But he was already, and I just looked down and said, well, he's performing two tasks right now. First of all, he's alerting me that my stress level's up because you're encroaching on my space and you're confronting me. And second, he's trying to push me away from you because you're too close. And you know, because you looked up my records, that I have PTSD. So step back, please. And they did. They were respectful of that. And so, you know, you can look, he watches my 6 task, acknowledged task, mm-hmm. even acknowledged by ADI and IAADP. Okay. Sometimes some people train their dog to clear a room. I personally think that's kind of a ridiculous task. It's my opinion, and that's not something we need to get into the show, but room clearing is an accepted task by the ADA. It actually mentions it. The right. Department of Justice mentions room clearing for veterans with PTSD. Okay. So it's a valid task, provides counterbalance and momentum pull, valid mobility tasks. Alerts me to changes in my condition so that I can get somewhere safe. Valid task. None of those tasks divulge what your condition is. None of them say what your disability is. You're not required to, and you shouldn't.
Use a generic language.
Yep.
And it doesn't give you away.
Yeah. So that's another thing you need to look for organizations. Are they teaching you the law? Do you understand that it is not a privilege? You do not need permission from anybody to use a service dog. It is your right, protected by the law. Do you understand what a civil right means? Are they teaching you that? This is why I wrote the book, because I still run into program dog handlers who don't understand the law. They're some of my favorites, Kevin. I'm sure you've run into this because they'll argue until they're blue in the face that a registry is necessary.
Oh, every damn time.
Oh, we got to have a registry because we have to control the fake service dog problem. First of all, there's no such thing as a fake service dog. no dog wakes up in the morning, says, you know what? I'm going to put my vest on and go terrify everybody at the Piggly Wiggly. And I think I'll pee in the meat aisle. No dog makes that decision. The problem is fake owners.
Okay. It seems like it's once a week anymore, and I just get tired of it.
Yeah. Okay. The problem is the people holding the leash. And anybody who legitimately understands their rights and their responsibilities under the law understands that it's not the dog's problem. We need to stop focusing on and blaming the dogs, and we need to start holding the people accountable. The law does that. The Americans with Disabilities Act is written so that we are held accountable. If we are not in control of our dog, it is the right of the business to ask that we remove the dog. They were well within their rights. I have done it before. Skeeter, something happened. He just lost focus. He was done. He was freaking out. And I'm like, nope, we're done. And I turned around. I left my grocery cart, turned around and walked out. Came back the next day. He worked out just fine. Nobody had to ask me to remove him because I'm a responsible handler. Sometimes, some days, it just does, just like you just can't do it. Sometimes the dog can't do it. Be cognizant. Handle your dog. And these organizations that tell you, oh, no, it's plug and play. Here are the keys to your Maserati. Guess what? They're setting you up to fail. Which brings me to my next point, next red flag when we're talking about organizations. Quid pro quo. If it is a nonprofit whose mission is to provide service dogs for disabled veterans or disabled people, then you shouldn't be paying them a dime. They are a non-profit. They should not be selling these dogs. Okay? And I'm going to take that a step further. They should not be forcing their clientele to raise money. The whole reason a nonprofit exists is so that it can raise the money to provide services to the people that they're formed for in their mission statement, those people in need.
Right.
Okay. So why are you charging? I was shocked with our first interview, Enduin, who the nonprofit charged her more than $25,000 ultimately, 26, I think, total. You're a nonprofit. And they claimed that they would help her fundraise, but she was required to fundraise. Okay. Think about this. Look. I don't know about you, Scav, but when I started getting into this whole service dog thing, I was not ready to go out in public and try to raise money.
Oh, there's no way.
I could not have done it in any way, shape, or form. And that brings into question, again, we're talking about these large, multi-million dollar nonprofits who are presenting service dogs to veterans in the middle of a basketball arena packed with 35,000 people. Now, I don't know about you, but before I had a service dog and had worked with him for years, I would have been shitting myself in the middle of the floor. I couldn't stand in the middle of a stadium.
Hell, I still don't. I still don't go to concerts.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, come on. Who do they think they're fooling? But, you know, and it comes back, and we were talking about this with Enduin as well, because she is a civilian. Veterans raise money. Veterans, you know, they have the great stories that tug at the heartstrings, and they got the patriotism. Let's stick a camera in front of them.
Right.
Okay, and that leads me to another red flag, the dog and pony show. If they want you to go out and perform in order to help them raise funds, think about that. You've got the PTSD. You're agoraphobic. You've got your head on a swivel. If you're in a crowd, you're looking for the next thing coming at you. And you're going to go out and be a poster child?
Nope.
They expect you to be a poster child? I, again, don't know about you, but when I was in the early stages of getting a dog, that shit wasn't happening. Now, no. It's one thing if they, you know, as a team graduates, they take your picture and they put it on the website. Okay. But if they want you to go doing song and dance and talk to so-and-so and show up at the Lions Club meeting and tell them how great their organization is, what's their focus on? Your well-being or getting their money?
But how many times have you seen them at a 10K or a 5K and there's a PTS dog?
Yeah. Now,
and their handler and all the, in the middle of all these people.
Yeah. Look, if you are to the point where you want to, where you choose, it is your choice to support your organization and you're comfortable enough and have regained enough confidence and enough, you know, you've gotten it, you've, things have gotten to where you can do it and you volunteer because you support the organization. So you're volunteering to go help raise funds for them. Okay. It's different story when you say, you know what? You guys really helped me. I'd like to give something back. Let's do some fundraising. That's fine. I'm not going to question you. It's when the organization, while you're signing the contract, says, oh, and by the way, you have to participate in X number of hours of fundraising events.
Bingo.
No. You know what? Any organization that tells me that, if I'm applying for a service dog, I'm going to tell them to go fuck themselves. I have PTSD. I don't want to go do that. I am not going to go do that. I am afraid to go do that. Or, you know, I get the anxiety. I get panic attacks. I fly into rages in that situation. Why would you set me up to fail?
And there are several out there that do that.
Yeah. Look at these things, folks. Look at what the organization is there for. There are two types of service dog training organizations out there. There are the types, and I will say that TADSAW is one, that the organizations full scope, the whole focus, everything the organization does is to fulfill its mission statement to provide a service for their clientele. And then there are the organizations who focus on looking good or building facilities or supporting a breeding program. We covered that already in a previous show, how you can't breed a service dog. You can breed dogs that might have a, you know, higher opportunity, chance of being a service dog, but you cannot specifically breed a litter of dogs and say they're all service dogs. It's not realistic. Okay. What is the focus of the program? We talked about too, look at their finances. If it's a nonprofit, they are required by law to publish their financials every year, how much they took in, where it went. Look at the organizations who spent, say, $3 million went to providing service dogs to veterans, but they brought in $13 million. Well, where's the other $10 million? How much money are they paying on salaries, their CEO's salary, facilities, overhead, advertising, fundraising, versus how much goes to the veteran, to training the dog for the veteran.
Right.
If it's 3 to 10, guess what? They're not focused on you.
Here's another question you can ask them. Ask them what happens if you freak out in the middle of training and just decide to quit. What happens to you and that dog?
Yeah. Oh, ownership. Look, the whole point of getting a service dog into a veteran's hands is to get that veteran off the suicide bubble, to get him away from suicidal. I was suicidal before I got Skeeter. Once I had a puppy, instead of just waking up to take pills and thinking this is not life, I might as well end it, I had a reason to get up in the morning because I had to take care of my puppy. So I wasn't focused on just ending it because I wasn't living any kind of life. I started finding a mission. I started having a purpose, a reason to get up in the morning other than taking pills. I was moving forward. I started moving again. I lost that entropy, you know, that just blah, right? Mm-hmm. Because I had to get, and I was excited to get up in the morning because I had to feed my puppy. Okay. There was a reason that to get me off of that, out of that mindset, start me on a new path, give me a new mission. Okay. That's what the whole point is. That's what the whole point is. Get you back to independence.
And TADSAW will get you a dog. And if you decide to quit halfway through, that dog's still yours.
Yep. Absolutely right.
And you can keep that dog.
And okay. And so you know, and another thing, something we talked about with Endowin, being required to have the dog's vest, the organization's vest on the dog at all times. The other veteran who, in the first half, we talked about his story. He remained anonymous, but the organization required that the dog wear their vest at all times, even in the home, which is like, look, Skeeter works vest on, vest off. I train him with no vest. I never bought a vest for years, intentionally. Okay, and then I bought a vest, and I worked him in a vest, and I worked him out of a vest. Skeeter doesn't care. Skeeter works 24/7. You know why? You can't turn PTSD off.
Nope.
There's no switch. He wakes me up in the middle of the night when I'm having nightmares. He doesn't need a vest to do that. Okay. Is the organization more concerned with themselves than with you? That's the most important question you need to ask when you're looking for an organization, folks. Who do they care about? If you get the impression you're last on the list or pretty low on it, don't use that organization. If you need help finding an organization, message the Scaven Scout Chronicles, message PTS Dog, message the Service Dog Show. We will help you find an organization, trainers. You know, we will help you find this in your area. Also, talk to the Jaeger Foundation. They specialize, they focus on helping you get through the red tape with these organizations. They'll find you a dog.
Jaeger's impressed the shit out of me lately.
Yeah, they'll find you a dog and plug you in with a local trainer and help pay the trainer. No organization involved. It's essentially cooperative training with a professional trainer, but not an organization. Okay? I mean, there are ways to do this. You're not locked into, well, I have to use such and such a program. No, you don't. Now, if you want veterinary insurance and equipment coverage from the VA, it is required that you apply for a specific program in the prosthetics department and the dog comes from an ADI accredited organization. I'm here to tell you, first of all, I don't want, now this is me. I can barely get adequate and appropriate health care for myself fighting tooth and nail with the VA. I don't want the fucking VA involved in my service dog in any way, shape, or form in any further manner than, oh, you have a service dog. I marked it in your record. Period.
Dude, I was just on the phone with the VA today because I'm looking for the rest of my inhalers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't want them worried about my service dog.
Yeah. That reminds me, I need to get on Healthy Vet and do some refills. Okay, but what my point is look, if that works for you, great. But I'm here to tell you that if you're not involved in a program yet and you're looking and people are saying, oh, go get the ADI program because the VA will do this and this and this. Listen, it is not worth the nightmare, the bureaucratic mess in order to get that from the VA. It's not worth it. Good for you if you can jump through all those hoops, but go read that program. The links are in the information file in the PTS Dog group. There's a link to the requirements in order to join that program.
We'll give them all the information they want.
Hmm?
Have them get a hold of us. We'll give them all the information they want on how to do it.
Message us. Yeah, absolutely. We'll share you the information. But I'm telling you, they want you to jump through 17 different kinds of hoops in order to do this. And it's just, look, if you're struggling and you're fighting PTSD, you don't want to do that. And another thing, waiting lists. And this is the last thing, and we're going to wrap this up. You go to an organization and they tell you they have a 2 or 3 year wait list. Okay, I don't know about you, but for me, I was at the end. I was ready to end it all when I decided, well, there's one last thing, service dog. Okay? I couldn't have waited 2 years. No way. What are you supposed to do for 2 years while you don't have a dog? That organization isn't doing everything they can to take care of you and keep you alive if they're making you wait 2 years. If I had a 2 year wait list, I would be like, hey, you need to contact these guys. You're in a bad spot. I can see that. I can't help you right now. Talk to so-and-so. Go over here.
But these organizations are so jealous and they want to make sure that everybody knows they're the best way and they're the only way so they can make the most money.
And that's it.
They're there to save veterans' lives or they're there to make themselves money. If they're there to make themselves money, find someone else.
You know, and when I went looking for Scout, it was 2 years for this company, 2.5 years for that company, 3 years for this company, or you could pay me $35,000 and you can have a dog in a week.
And that, oh, that's another thing. Some of these organizations, oh, it's a 2 year wait unless you've got 35, 40 grand. Whose dog are they taking when they accept your 40 grand? Who gets bumped down the list? Again, they're not caring about their clientele. They're focused on making money. They're focused on themselves. Focused on the organization instead of the people. There's too much of this going on. Look, we've seen evidence of four different scams as in the course of just a couple of interviews for two radio shows, we've identified four different scams, including two guys who just took money and ran.
And there's so many of those guys out there. I just wish I could get my hands on them.
Let me tell you something. You know how you get certified as a dog trainer? It depends on who you know. Unless you actually attend a school, there is no real regulated certification for dog trainers. Now, some of these organizations, such as ADI, do certify that trainers adhere to their guidelines. If the trainer pays them enough. It's a paid membership to get certification. What's that tell me? Again, they're not worried about standards. They're not worried about unity. They're not worried about providing the best product possible. They're worried about making money. Okay, unless you go to a dog training school like Animal Behavior College where you get a degree in behaviorism, things like that, right? That how you become a dog trainer is apprenticing. It's an apprenticeship. You go find a trainer and say, hey, I want to learn. And trainers, because there's no regulation, can just hand out certificates and say, boom, magical, you're a dog trainer. Bang, there you go. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying shop. Look around. Figure out what it is that you're getting into. Ask questions. Come to places. Look, I have no skin in the game when it comes to TADSAW. Neither does Scav, really.
Nope.
We just understand that the program works real well. It's not about ego. It's about, look, this is the program that we have found that makes the most sense so far. Because we've been looking so we can help you. I don't have any ego involved. You come and say, hey, I'm thinking about using... and I'm making this up. So if it actually exists, I apologize. I'm not calling them out. I'm making up a name. I'm thinking about using Dogs for Warriors in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. What do you know about them? I'm going to say, I don't know. Let me do a little digging for you. And I'm going to start asking these questions for you. This is the kind of resource we provide for you.
Maybe we'll know somebody that wants to go through for us.
Yeah. Maybe we know somebody who did go through who can give us the skinny.
Right.
Oh, they're great. Or man, I don't know. You know, I really had a lot of this. I didn't learn that. I have had handlers with program dogs come to my page and say, I had no idea until I started following you. What they taught me was not reality.
And these still companies don't know who we have in our network that we're sending through these classes.
Yeah. Folks, bottom line, we want you to succeed. We want you to heal. We want you to grow. And that means we want you to find the organization that works the best for you, fulfills your needs, and is more worried about you than lining their pockets. If you don't feel comfortable asking the questions, hell, I'll pick up the phone and ask, hey, I'm thinking about applying to your organization. Can you talk to me a little bit about your financials? I have no problem with that. As soon as they start backpedaling, that's a red flag. Mm-hmm. You're not willing to be transparent about where your money goes, I'll find another organization. These are the kinds of questions. This is, you know, using a service dog, what we're talking about is your life. What we are talking about is your life. Do you want the people who are absolutely dedicated to making sure that you get the best possible service, to make sure that they match with you, that they fit, and that they're going to provide you the dog that you need? Or do you want the people that look good? Because guess what? If they look good, they're not focused on you. We want to make sure that you are asking the right questions so that you can succeed, so that you can start to heal, so you can start to grow. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're putting this together. If you have horror stories, if you're one of the veterans I'm talking about who's come to the pages and said, you know, I wish I'd known then what I know now, speak up. Let us know. We'll interview you. We'll put you on the air.
Hell yeah.
We want to share this information so that it doesn't happen to the next guy down the line. So please don't hesitate. Contact Service Dog Show page. You can email info@dvradio.net. You can email servicedogshow@dvradio.net. You can contact the Scavenge Scout Chronicles page. You can contact PTS Dog page. Let us know. Reach out.
Yeah, we're not shy.
Your voices. We're here to provide you with a platform, a place to say, look, this is what happened to me, so that other people can learn. We need your support to do that. You know, we can talk to We're Blue in the face about, well, a veteran told me this and a veteran told you that, but who are you more likely to believe, the person who it actually happened to or us, third party?
Right. And we get a lot of people wanting to talk until.
Right. Yeah. Right up until we schedule the interview.
Right.
Well, that's about it. You got anything else to add, bro?
I don't have anything, man.
All right. You've been listening to the Service Dog Show. Listen, we do this for free. Our time goes into this, our experience, our equipment, for you to listen to this, for you to have this information and this support available to you, but it costs us. We pay for the equipment. We pay for the services that we use in order to broadcast, the internet, the podcasting, all of that. That costs us. DV Radio could use your support, and so could PTS Dog for that matter. And so there's a couple of ways you can support us. Okay. The best is go to dvradio.net and click on the donate button. You can also become a patron through Patreon, patreon.com/dvradio. You can buy DV Radio a cup of coffee, ko-fi.com/dvradio. You can support PTS Dog. I help pay some of my money to make sure that DV Radio functions. You want to earmark some funds to go to some of the capabilities that we have at DV Radio? Coffee.com again, ko-fi.com/PTS Dog. Just put in a note when you make a donation for DV Radio. I'll get it there. Again, we're not making any money out of this. We're doing this because we care, because we want to provide a platform, place for veterans' voices. So please, if you can, help support us. If you can't support, share the links, share the fundraising links, share the patronage links, coffee.com, patreon.com/dvradio, patreon.com/dvradio. Help get the word out. Share with other handlers. A lot of people, the Service Dog Show has been on the air for 2 years now, getting ready to turn the corner and start working on our third year. And there's not a lot of people who know that this is the longest running podcast and broadcast dedicated specifically to service dogs and their handlers. Help us get the word out. You've been listening to the Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR. We'll see you next week. DV Radio.